Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna to all devotees. Om Agina Tibirandasya Gyana Gyana Shalakaya Chakshum Vitam Yena Tasma Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Mdilati Swahaparati Kama Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shacham Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sagvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shacham Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpati Rubhyascha Kripasunive Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasri Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Namo Vishnupraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deva Gaurabhani Pacharini Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pasticharya Sicharini Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Guratate Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himavya Vidhi Divacha Vishunaraya Tasmaya Mahaprema Rasa Padaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So this morning, as Shyamrasika Mataji was saying, I was requested to talk about how to develop humility. So, by the mercy of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, the Parampara, Madhu Maharaj, and all of you, hopefully I'll be used as a tool to tell you what the Lord wants you to hear. We'll start first with the definition of humility, then examples from pure devotees who exhibited humility, they do all the time, and then actions to take by a person who wants to be humble or maintain humility. So in Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 13, the chapter is entitled Nature, Enjoyer, and Consciousness. In texts 8 through 12, so it's five texts together, Krishna describes the qualities of a devotee. And there are 26 qualities. And the first one that Krishna mentions to Arjuna is Amanitva. Amanitva is humility. So Krishna starts with the quality of humility first, and then he lists the others. So there's some significance here as to how humility plays out in our lives as devotees. In fact, humility should play out in the life of every person, but that's another story, because devotees have a particular mission to, as Srila Prabhupada said, to re-spiritualize the entire planet. And humility is very, very important. It's paramount in that particular aim. So in the purport of this particular reference, Bhagavad Gita 13, 8 through 12, Srila Prabhupada talks about the qualities of a devotee one by one. And humility is the first one that he talks about. So I will quote directly his purport. Srila Prabhupada says, humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. The material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honor from others. But from the point of view of a man in perfect knowledge, who knows that he is not this body, anything, honor or dishonor, pertaining to this body is useless. So Srila Prabhupada is saying that we shouldn't be anxious to be honored by other people. We shouldn't be very satisfied because somebody has boasted about what we've done or what our material qualification is and so on, things like that. Because Srila Prabhupada is saying all of these kind of things pertain to the body. It's connected to the body. In the spiritual world, those things aren't there. You're not going to be praised as a big whatever in the spiritual world, because everybody is a servant of the servant. Das, and das. That's the consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada is also reminding us that all of these kind of things only connects with the body and not the soul. And of course, a devotee, as Srila Prabhupada said so many times, we're not this body. So a devotee knows that he's not this body. Therefore, the things that are talked about pertaining to the body really don't have any ultimate gain, ultimate benefit. Srila Prabhupada says it's useless. So one should not be, this is still Srila Prabhupada's purport, one should not be hankering after this material deception of wanting to feel big. Srila Prabhupada has also translated the Shikshastika from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the Shikshastika, to chant the holy name of the Lord constantly, Kirtaniya Sadahari, Lord Chaitanya also says that we should access humility and maintain humility. He said that we should be humble like a blade of grass, and we also should be tolerant like a tree. These are all signs, if we try to do that, of a person who will easily access humility. And so Srila Prabhupada says it here in Bhagavad Gita, and also in the Shikshastika, it is also mentioned by Lord Chaitanya. It's very, very important in a devotee's life that he remain humble. As a matter of fact, a devotee cannot be successful without humility. We'll talk about that in detail. So, people are very anxious to be famous for their religion, sometimes without even understanding the real purport of what they do, what they should be doing as religious people. They want the praise, they want the distinction, they want the adoration, they want to be advertised as a great religious mentor. All of these Srila Prabhupada mentions, but those kinds of things only access envy, those kind of, if they don't get it and somebody else gets it, they are envious and so on. And those are destructive to spiritual life. So humility, first we'll talk about that in terms of a devotee and or a disciple and the spiritual master. To approach the spiritual master, this has to be done by the devotee with all humility. How? Well, to do that and do that successfully, that is approaching the spiritual master humbly, we have to offer him services, and we also have to hear what he says and do it. In other words, we should go to the spiritual master with the aim of satisfying him according to how Krishna has said in the Bhagavad Gita to do. Spiritual master is heavy with knowledge. That is what guru means. And therefore, we offer services, so Krishna says to do that, serve him, and the more menially we serve him, the better, so that he will be pleased to bestow blessings upon the disciple. Now, a bona fide spiritual master represents Krishna. He's a representative of Krishna. So, if he bestows any blessings upon his disciple, or for any devotee in that, for that matter, that would make the disciple immediately access advancement, move forward in Krishna consciousness. The regulative principles would be easier for one who has served the spiritual master to follow. Srila Prabhupada says all of this in the Shastra and Bhagavad Gita. In fact, to quote it directly, Srila Prabhupada says, because a bona fide spiritual master is representative of Krishna, if he bestows any blessings upon his disciple, that would make his disciples immediately advanced without the disciples following the regulative principles, or that the regulative principles will be easier for one who has served the spiritual master without reservation. Now, I know we talk about regulative principles, and most of the time devotees immediately think about the four regulative principles. But the regulative principles, that may be part of, that is part of it, but also the nine ways in which we serve Krishna, also Srila Prabhupada lumps it in with the regulative principles. In other words, the hearing, the chanting. So what's being said here is that with the Guru's blessings, the chanting would improve, the hearing would be more exciting for the devotee to want to do, would be easier to do. As Srila Prabhupada says, it would be easier to do. So, because hearing, chanting, and then the rest of it, remembering Krishna, serving his lotus feet, offering obeisances, worshipping the deity, and so on, becoming a friend, becoming a servant, and then offering oneself fully, so, or surrendering fully. So Srila Prabhupada describes this process of Krishna consciousness as like a staircase. The process is like a staircase, he says, beginning from ground floor, of course, going up to the top floor. So the ground floor, for a devotee who wants to go up the staircase, the spiritual staircase, begins from practicing humility. And then, of course, the top floor is the point of realization where we have a very good understanding about Krishna and therefore about Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada says there are so many people who have reached the first floor, just reached it, but even haven't started going up. In other words, they haven't accessed humility yet. Some people may do a few things to try to move forward to the second floor or to the third floor, but unless one reaches the top floor, which is the understanding of Krishna, then he's at a lower stage of knowledge. And Srila Prabhupada says that without humility, understanding of Krishna is not possible. It's not truly possible. You may have faith in Krishna, but this is about understanding what Krishna consciousness is. It's not going to be possible without humility. Why? Because our false ego will interrupt our ability to understand. Krishna is the one that is the enjoyer. Krishna is the one that deserves all praises. And therefore, a person who is not humble and wanting praises for themselves will be taking what rightly belongs to Krishna. And that way, they would never understand Krishna properly. So, as Srila Prabhupada continues, to think oneself as God is most puffed up, because the bodies don't think themselves God, but the Maya bodies do. And that's why Srila Prabhupada was hard on Maya bodies and called them rascals. No one can be at the level of Krishna. Krishna is asamodhva. No one is equal to him, no one is above him. So, I am God is basically ignorance. And Srila Prabhupada said, the beginning of knowledge, therefore, is amanitva, humility. One should be humble. And what is humility? Humility simply means he is subordinate to the Supreme Lord. When that is clear, then we can move from the first floor to the second floor and so on. And by Krishna's own mercy and from our service attitude, then he can shower blessings and keep us up at much, much, much higher floors, having a better understanding of Krishna consciousness. So, in the Shastra, There are quite a few examples of pure devotees of Krishna who showed humility in many, many instances. One of them in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 16, Text 2, Srila Prabhupada talks in the purport about the example, the life of Haridas Thakur. Now, Haridas Thakur was born in a Mohammedan family. So, around him were Hindus, Krishna conscious people, but there were also the Muslims. And he was supposed to act in Krishna, in God consciousness as the Mohammedan, following the rules and the do's and don'ts of Islam. Now, he was in Jagannath Puri, and Lord Chaitanya was also in Jagannath Puri at the time. So the Lord's temple was there, Lord Jagannath's temple, and Lord Chaitanya was going regularly to the temple. But Haridas Thakur, being a Mohammedan, he was not allowed to enter because he was not in the Hindu religion. So Haridas Thakur knew himself. He knew how connected he was to Krishna. He was totally Krishna conscious. In fact, Lord Chaitanya called him the Namacharya, the Acharya of the Holy Name. Yet he wasn't entering Lord Jagannath's temple. Now, in behavior, Haridas Thakur was actually the greatest of all Hindus. But he considered himself a Mohammedan because of his birth, so he didn't go to the temple himself. Lord Chaitanya could understand this, and this was the humility of Haridas Thakur. And therefore, since he didn't go to the temple, Lord Chaitanya himself, who is not different from Lord Jagannath, would come and sit with Haridas Thakur where he was daily. And not only that, Lord Chaitanya would bring him the Mahaprasad from Lord Jagannath. So this is one description of humility, this time exhibited by Haridas Thakur, and the Lord himself also serving his disciple wonderfully because of the disciple's humility. So Lord Chaitanya himself, in many instances, when he was with his superiors, of course superiors meaning that his pastime as a devotee, then he got initiated, Ishwar Puri was his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, someone was the spiritual master of Ishwar Puri, and therefore up the line in that way, Lord Chaitanya considered himself a disciple, and therefore those people, those particular devotees, were his superiors according to what, you know, was on the outside. Of course, on the inside, internally, these disciples, these pure devotees knew that Lord Chaitanya was in fact Radha Krishna combined. Now, before the spiritual master, what did Lord Chaitanya do? Lord Chaitanya considered himself a non-knowledgeable person, a person who did not know much. In fact, he considered himself a fool. Now, he is teaching by example how to be a devotee. So if he considered himself not to know anything in front of his spiritual master, then that should be our attitude also. A humble person going in front of a spiritual master, his or her own spiritual master, or for that matter, any guru, should consider himself or herself to be one that's open to hear, and not a person that's open to going to tell things about the spiritual master about what he or she knows. Unless the spiritual master asks a particular question, opening up for the disciple or the devotee to respond to that, that's one thing. But we should go in front of the spiritual master understanding that he is a representative of Krishna. Therefore, whatever he's going to open his mouth and say is in fact being directed by Krishna, and we should be in the mood of hearing rather than even challenging. And we should hear and hear very attentively and ask questions where we're not clear about what's being said. That is also humility. So, humility is what causes advancement in spiritual life. Sometimes, when a devotee has been blessed by Sri Krishna, and they have some material acquisitions, they have a few things, they're quite wealthy, a devotee should not be proud of his acquisitions. Those things that have been given to the devotee have been given, in fact, by Krishna to see how the devotee would use these acquisitions. The smartest thing to do is to always dovetail our activities in Krishna consciousness. So whatever material things we have, and even if we are relatively rich, and it's only relative because nobody is really, really rich, when we talk about wealth, we can't compare what's here to even what's in the heavenly planets. And the heavenly planets are not the spiritual world. So in reality, wealth is only relative in this place. But still, some people have more than others. And those that have more, the system will watch to see how much they give. And so it's not about pride that I have more than what you have, or you have more than what I have. The symptoms of a devotee are meekness and humility. So although some devotees are spiritually advanced like the pure devotees of the Lord, they always remain humble. Kaviraj Goswami, who wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and all the other Vaishnavas, they've taught us by this example, several examples of Vaishnavas in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and for that matter, Chaitanya Bhagavat, written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. They show this every day, as has been reported, or has been written nicely by these two devotees, Sri Kaviraj Goswami and also Vrindavan Das Goswami, about Lord Chaitanya's life and the life of his disciples and other devotees who got wonderfully, wonderfully fortunate to be around him and get Krishna Prema, because Lord Chaitanya was distributing Krishna Prema profusely to anyone. So Lord Chaitanya has taught us that we should not be proud or falsely puffed up. We should be humbler than grass. We should be tolerant than the tree. A tree, when you go to a tree, whatever you do to the tree, it doesn't do it back to you. Even if you hit a tree, it doesn't hit you back. So those kinds of things, it's very important in our lives. Very, very important in our lives. And that is the way in which we advance in spiritual life. Lord Chaitanya says, Mama Janmani Janmaneshwari Bhavatad Bhakti Ahautaki Twayi. That is also a great, great, great statement about humility. So that means that, my dear Lord, life after life, birth after birth, may I be fixed in your pure devotional service. So Lord Chaitanya was not even concerned about making it back to the spiritual world. He just said, I only want to serve you, Sri Krishna, purely. Devotional service, not wanting anything. Let me be born here over and over and over again. That wouldn't matter. Just service to you. That's all that matters. So out of humility, a devotee considers himself not fit to be transferred to the spiritual world. A devotee usually thinks himself contaminated by the material modes of nature. Many, many of the poems that are written by the pure devotees, Jayadev Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, always there is a lamentation part of it, and the lamentation is always about themselves not being qualified, that they are wasting time. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when I was younger, I didn't put as much time into Krishna consciousness. And now that I'm older, then I have more time away from regular work. I'm paraphrasing what he said. Now I'm doing it, but then my bones are not so strong like they used to be. So he's making a point about having to put more time into serving Krishna at any age. That he made it in a lamenting form, that when he was younger he didn't do this. Because we all know Bhaktivinoda Thakur was always Krishna conscious, was always thinking about Krishna. But even the time that he spent, then he had to do it because he was Grihastha, he had to go to work, he was a magistrate. In those times he was dealing with material things that, you know, plaintiffs and defendants were coming in front of him, and he had to finish, you know, making judgment on whatever they had to say. Even that was time spent away from, arguably it's connected to Krishna consciousness, but you know, on the surface of it, it's like away from Krishna consciousness activities. Still, he was saying even those times were wasted. So a devotee wants to always serve Krishna at all times. Another example from Srimad Bhagavatam is about Jadbharat. So Jadbharat was Bharat Maharaj who left his kingdom to devote full time into devotional service. And he went into the forest. Many of us, if not all of us, know the story about how he became attached to a deer who was helpless, a baby deer, and then he neglected his devotional service, and then it took so much time into caring for the deer, he wound up in the deer's body and definitely lamented about his mistake. So when he left the deer body, he was born again, this time as Jadbharat, and his life was very different because he knew that he would not, or to be very careful about this life again that's been given in a human body, that he shouldn't associate with material energy, and therefore he acted like a madman, and just for people to leave him alone so he'd have his internal bhajan. Now it turns out that there was a king Rahugan, who was being carried in a palanquin, and they needed one more person. They saw Jadbharat and they took him and added him to the number of people who were carrying him, carrying the king. Jadbharat did not question anything. He went on with the others, but then whenever there were any living entities like ants in his path, and he could step on them and cause them to leave their bodies, he didn't want to do that. And so he would stop to have the ants get out of the way. But there are others carrying the palanquin who are moving on. So when he stopped, then that jolted the palanquin and made the king very uncomfortable, the king sitting on the palanquin. And so when he questioned why this was happening, they pointed out that this new person, Jadbharat, was the one that was not walking in sync with everybody else. So the king chastised Jadbharat. And Jadbharat is the exalted devotee. The king chastised Jadbharat with very harsh words. But this peaceful, saintly person, Jadbharat, tolerated it all and then replied properly. So out of his natural humility, Jadbharat never considered himself a great devotee. And when he was carrying the palanquin, he looked at it that this was the result of his past karma. So he thought about it like an ordinary man, that carrying the palanquin, maybe this was Krishna's way of getting him to destroy the reactions of his past wrongdoings, past misdeeds. So in this way, he continued carrying the palanquin. But he wasn't about to destroy living entities like ants when he could see that stepping on them would cause them pain and even death. And so, even though he was chastised by King Rahugana, first, he continued to stop. He stopped even after that, after being chastised, stopped for the ants to cross. Finally, many of you may know the story, Jadbharat actually stopped, and King Rahugana got down, and after heavy chastisement, Jadbharat took his words and turned around and preached to the king, and the king realized that he was in the presence of an exalted devotee, and the king submitted himself. The king started acting humbly, which is quite interesting. So, what's another way in which we are reminded by Srila Prabhupada about humility? So, Srila Prabhupada says that a devotee should see another as Prabhu. So, as servants of the Supreme Lord, all living entities are one. We are in fact the soul. But a Vaishnava, out of his natural humility, would address every other living entity as Prabhu. Now, keep in mind, we didn't even mention just another devotee, but addresses every other living entity as Prabhu. Why is that? It's because we can learn from all living entities. The Avanti Brahmanas, one example, he had 24 gurus. Some of the gurus were not even living entities the way we know them. The sky and so on. Those are not even that category. And then the insects, and then people, including the prostitute, and so on. He learned from all of those. And each one of them had a lesson to improve his life. Now, they didn't know that he was learning from them, but out of humility, he was watching and always taking very, very, very good note of positive things about what they were doing and learned from that to improve his life. So that's what the Avanti Brahman was doing. In the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he actually talks about those things. He actually describes what he learned from the the 24 gurus. So, understanding of Prabhu. To understand Prabhu begins from understanding the spiritual master. Yashat Prashad Bhagavat Prashado, Yashat Prashad Nagati Kutopi, which translates to, by the mercy of a spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. From Krishna, one gets Guru, and by the mercy of Guru, one gets the benediction of Krishna. So without the grace of a spiritual master, then one cannot make any advancement in Krishna consciousness. Also, the same Sri Guru Ashtaka, Shakshat Daribena Samasta Shastai, Utkastata Bhavyata Eva Sadvi, Kintu Praboya Priya Eva Tasya, Bande Gurosi Charanaravinda. The spiritual master, the translation is, the spiritual master is to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord, because he is a most confidential servitor of the Lord. This is acknowledged in revealed scriptures, in the Shastra, and followed by all authorities. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of a spiritual master, who is a bona fide representative of Sri Krishna, Sri Hari. So the spiritual master, the servant of God, is engaged in the most confidential service of the Lord, representing Krishna and delivering all the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya. So in Maya, one has enemy, one has friend. If we think about this is my friend, this is my enemy, and categorize people that way, that alone shows that we have a problem with humility. But it's interesting to note that a person should not have enemies. Krishna doesn't have any enemies. Lord Chaitanya did not have any enemies. Lord Chaitanya was showing how to be a devotee. And so a devotee should not have enemies, and devotees should always be friendly to everyone. Not say that this person, well, he did this and did this to me, therefore he's now my enemy, or she is now my enemy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is across the board friendly to all living entities, even when he chastises demons, even when he takes their lives, you know, their physical bodies, they quit their physical body, he kills them, still he gives them liberation. So if Krishna gives demons liberation, then Krishna is not an enemy of demons. They consider him an enemy, but he never considers them an enemy. Because if that was the case, then why would he, after killing them, liberate them? So that definitely is a sign of one who is a well-wisher of even demons. And the devotee should also be well-wisher of everybody. Just like Srila Prabhupada, when he writes letters, he always ended it with, "Your ever well-wisher, your well-wisher forever." That is in fact a show of love to all that he wrote to. And Srila Prabhupada loved everybody. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a friend of all living entities. And all living entities are eternal servants. So, to be one with the Lord is only possible through this understanding that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is friendly to all of us, and we are the eternal servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So nobody should be ever thinking that they are God or equal to God. And we should pray for the Mayavadis who think that way. So what are the actions in humility? Well, there are 11 points here that by my Guru Maharaj's mercy, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we came up with. The first point is, when there's a fault, when there's misunderstanding between a devotee and another devotee, the devotee that want to access humility should see it as their fault first, and then act from that point of view. When there's an issue between one and another person, especially one devotee and another devotee, this devotee should see, we should look at it as our fault first and start to rectify the problem from that point of view. So if we do that, we say, okay, it's my fault, that immediately puts us in the mindset of thinking of ways to resolve the problem rather than try to prove that we are correct, even if we really are correct. Why is that? We say, well, you know, it makes sense to make your point if you know the other person is wrong, to make your point and describe it enough for that person to understand that your point is correct. But then the other person is also saying that their point is correct. Therefore, if we keep trying to prove that our point is correct, and they also are going by trying to prove that their point is correct, the conversation doesn't end, and in fact, it doesn't end well. So that's why we should see the other person's point of view. In fact, we should listen to the other person. That's the only way we're going to see the other person's point of view, to have them talk about what disturbs them and see all the time, listening intently, see how we can resolve the problem. Sometimes it means that we have to apologize, and we should never be too big to apologize, and end it in such a way that the person comes out thinking that this person is not my enemy anymore. This person understood me. That is the most important thing. Later on, if we were really correct, Krishna would arrange for the other person to see the point that we were making. But at the time when the person is actually disturbed with us, if we try to hammer our point home, we will only make the person more disturbed, because all they're going to say is, he or she is not hearing me. They're not hearing what I'm saying. They think they're right, and I know they're wrong, even though the person that may be talking is wrong himself. But that never ends the conversation and doesn't end it well, and it might even generate friction after that. In other words, later on they might not want to talk to you. And what has that done? All it's done is ruin a relationship, and devotees are supposed to have cordial, at the very least, cordial relationships between each other. So, point number two, sincerely pray to our Guru. If we're not initiated, pray to Srila Prabhupada for help with our weaknesses. To admit that we are weak shows humility. So to do something about it, to pray to Guru or to Srila Prabhupada for help with our weaknesses, obviously would help us to move forward in Krishna consciousness. But to admit that we are weak also shows humility. Point number three, we should always accept that we don't know much of anything spiritual. When we accept that we don't know much of anything spiritual, in other words, we're not that learned spiritually, then we will be willing to hear every day. Because then hearing is now, it's not going to be something that Siddha Prabhupada or his spiritual master has instructed that we should read and hear, read or hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day. That is true, the instruction has been given, but if we approach that particular service of hearing Bhagavatam or reading Bhagavatam, that I don't know much of anything spiritual, then we will be eager to hear what is going to be said. Because then it means, I don't know much spiritual, so today my life is going to be improved spiritually by what I read or what I hear. And in that mindset, then when we read, we will in fact benefit tremendously, especially with the point of reading and applying it in our lives. It's not about reading only. It's not about being scholarly. It's about using what Srila Prabhupada has made available to us. So point number four, we should go through inconvenience to serve devotees and serve the spiritual master. The service sometimes is relatively straightforward, and some services are relatively challenging. We should never ever think that because it's challenging that we don't want to do it. The more inconvenience we go through to put ourselves out to serve devotees and to serve the spiritual master, the more Krishna will give us mercy and purify us from our faults. I have faults. Many of us have faults. And we have difficulty in trying to even overcome those faults. But Krishna can do everything. So if we serve devotees and serve willingly, even though there's inconvenience, and we don't allow our minds to say we should stop serving because of the inconvenience, and do the service anyway, then that will cause Krishna to give us the mercy and help us to be purified. Because it's Krishna that purifies us. We cannot purify ourselves. It's Krishna that purifies us. But that is from our willingness to serve even with inconvenience. Point number five. To be determined. We should be very determined. This is in the Upanishadamrita, next level instruction. We should be determined to serve with such quality, with high quality, so that Krishna and Guru will be pleased with us, with our service, and Krishna will notice us. So it's not a question of serving only, but serving as best as we can, serving with such high quality that we can do, and even trying to serve better next time. In other words, think about other ways to make a service even to improve the service, give it higher quality. That should be our aim the whole time, because that pleases Guru and it pleases Krishna. Point number six, never criticize. See the good in people. My Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, puts it this way: don't fault find, you should love find. Don't be finding faults, but look for love. That is, look for the good in people. We should do this. Don't criticize. We should have the understanding that all people have faults, and dwelling on them will make devotees uncomfortable, and then you'll be a turn-off to them. So you're only always talking about something negative. Criticism is always something about talking about something negative. It does not mean that we don't see things that are not quite right among us, or that other devotees are doing. But if you bring up a point, then the point should be brought up with the point of view, with you yourself, doing things to correct that, and correct it in a non-offensive way. Other than that, criticizing is just to say that something is wrong and leaving it at that, or telling other people that something is wrong and leaving it at that. Leaving it at that means you've just criticized, and that's what's wrong. But doing something about it, not just mentioning what could be done, but doing something about it, or mentioning it to someone who can do something about it, then that's positive use of that particular mood of talking about what may be wrong. Sometimes we say that something is wrong and we go to a particular person in authority to, or in position to fix what that problem is. Then we have a conversation with that person and find out later on that in fact there's a bigger picture, and then what we thought was wrong was not actually wrong, or it's already known and it's going to be done later, but because of one thing or another thing in the way, that's not been done yet. So that's not criticism. That's trying to fix something that is that needs fixing. So that is the difference. Just saying something and leaving it at that, that's criticizing. Saying something negative and leaving it at that. We should see the good in people. There's one devotee couple now that have come to Giranagri, and that's where I'm associated with. I live very close to Giranagri. And this particular devotee, I will not mention names here, but he and his wife, they really are very, 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 to me, they are advanced devotees. They would not say that, they would not even think that, but when you come around them, every time you feel you've learned something from them, or they've picked you up as far as your mood goes. The devotee never says, I've never heard him say anything negative. He's always bringing up a point, wishing you well, literally offering obeisance. Even if he doesn't do it physically, he actually says it. And he's always, always, always making you feel good about yourself. This, to me, is an advanced devotee. He does it, and he does it genuinely. And he's always helping. I think they have five disciples. They're an older couple. They came from California. I talked with his wife also. I take care of Tulsi's and the Tulsi house. That's my main service in Giranagri. And I was there one time wiping the tables and doing a few things with Tulsi. And she opened the door and came in. That was the first time I talked to her. We have quite a few Tulsi's, and it turned out that she actually wanted one. But the conversation was very, very, very cordial. As a matter of fact, I reminded her that you pick Tulsi's before 12 noon. And that's what Bhakti Vishwamaya Madhava Swami has given a lecture about that. You pick Tulsi leaves from her before 12 noon. And this was like 5 o'clock, and I was 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And she came and started taking Tulsi's. But then she reminded me, I'm just taking the ones on the table. I said, oh, okay. So then we started the conversation. So I was actually calmly telling her that she shouldn't be picking Tulsi's at that time. But she wasn't picking Tulsi's from Tulsi Maharani herself, just those ones that were falling, which I would have had to do anyway because I was cleaning the table. And so we got to talking, and she explained to me that when they were coming from California, they had Tulsi's, and she didn't think that they would make the trip. She would be able to make the trip. Tulsi herself would make the trip that easily. And therefore, they gave her away to other devotees. And now, she really would like to have one. So I said, immediately pick whichever one you want. And she chose one, and later on, she picked it. So this is the reason she came in. She picked Tulsi, the one that she wanted. But the conversation was, and I just could feel her energy. She's so uplifting. And so, you know, it's her husband when you talk to them. This is also a sign of humility. Every time being careful how you speak to devotees so you don't offend them, but actually make them feel good about themselves. Certainly talking more about Krishna also. So point number seven. We should remember that ISKCON is not a society with the majority of devotees being pure. So we should not be surprised by the faults that come from devotees. A person is not pure, they have a lower nature and they have a higher nature. Sometimes the lower nature comes out. It's not good when the lower nature comes out. We know that. Because then it's usually an offensive type of action that the devotee is taking, or offensive things that they're saying. But that shouldn't surprise us. Because the Prabhupada came to those who are conditioned souls. Conditioned souls have faults. And he's trying to fix us up and take us back to Godhead. So, since we shouldn't be surprised, then when something like that happens, we should patiently deal with every situation and deal with it respectfully, with the aim not to offend that particular Vaishnava. Point number eight, we should not postpone spiritual activities. We should adjust our material responsibilities as best as we can. We should adjust it, but we should always give priority to the spiritual activities. The spiritual activities are the ones that are lasting. The material activities end when this body also ceases, when we die. So we don't get practically anything from material responsibilities. They're necessary things to do since we are in these bodies, and the bodies require that we do material things. So then we have to do them as a necessity. But priority should always be given to the spiritual activities. Point number nine. We should understand that our discomfort in certain situations will make us uncomfortable, is in fact an arrangement by the Lord to cause us to learn and to grow from the lessons that come from the uncomfortable situations. So we should always seek out what the lessons are and learn from them. The incidents that occur that make us a little disturbed, we should always look at what is the lesson that I have to learn from this. As a matter of fact, in the first canto, in chapter 8, Queen Kunti is praying to Krishna that Pandavas her sons and herself had gone through so many disturbing things from the Kurus, from Duryodhana. But in any situation that was disturbing, all of them remembered Krishna, and all of them appealed to Krishna, and all of them prayed to Krishna. And so, she was even saying, in order to remember you, bring more calamities. The calamities come, we always remember you. And she also knows that the calamities end in the way Krishna wants it to end. And so, she was saying to connect with Krishna in that way, even in calamities. Point number 10. If problems with another devotee are bad, okay, and getting worse, the problems are getting worse, and they've also happened repeatedly, that it's become necessary to put some distance between you and the devotee, still, that devotee should be treated by you with respect. You may want to keep your conversation short if you think that he might step on your toes again, but still, at all times, you have to treat the devotee with respect. Now, mentally, don't think harshly of that devotee because he has faults, because he or she may have faults, but so do we. His or her faults are being directed towards us, but we also have faults, and somebody else is feeling that our faults is disturbing them. So in fact, we're all in the same boat. You don't want anybody to think harshly about you, so you shouldn't think harshly about anyone else, even if you know what their faults are, and the faults are directed to us. We should pray for that person's spiritual growth and send that person positive thoughts. Positive thoughts as thoughts, as it's been explained, thoughts have form. So when we send positive thoughts, we can in fact, and with Krishna's help, as Krishna always arranges one way or the other, himself or through his agents, to change things for the better. When we give positive thoughts, send positive thoughts to that particular person, that relationship that is a harsh one in time will change. And those of us, you know, that have been in this ground for quite a while, we've seen that happen to ourselves, we've seen that happen to others, the relationships improving. As a matter of fact, I remember one devotee, not my god sister, but I knew her quite well, also in Giranagi. She's left now. But when she came because Agu Maharaj had her leave where she was at and come to Giranagri. She was very difficult to deal with, and the spiritual master thought that maybe at Giranagri, even at the body level, because she was black bodied, and at that time there were quite a few black bodied devotees in Giranagri. So the spiritual master was thinking that maybe if she was among them, then she could behave a little better. And therefore, they brought her to Giranagri. And it didn't work because we were all, and I'm in black body myself, we were all kind of disturbed with a lot of things that she did. Now, in time, she changed. At first, we were disturbed, but then I, for one, she got to be quite a friend of mine, and it was revealing quite a few things to me about her life and the things that she did. Even some of the things that she did were absolutely horrible. But still, you know, with confidence growing in our relationship, she was able to tell me some of those things that she used to do. Now, one time, another devotee, Bhaktin Mataji, came to Giranagri. And this particular Mataji I'm talking about was still there at the time that this new one came. And so this Mataji, new one, was also acting very negatively, as we all have, you know, things that we have to grow. Giranagri, Shishwara Ramadas' specialty, we all say the specialty is when you come to Giranagri, they give you a mirror. Literally, you see yourself where you are spiritually, and then they give you an opportunity to grow. And so, this new one that came was acting in some of the ways that this first Mataji that was transferred to Giranagri was also acting. And so, we were all kind of laughing about it. Said, "You see, he's just telling me." She was telling me, "Look at this other devotee. He's doing the very things that I used to do that made everybody uncomfortable." So we all laughed about it. Right? And of course, you know, we laughed about it, but that was one thing. She was just looking at her own self and saying, "This is what I used to be," and this is true. She had actually improved since then. Of course, in time, everybody improves that wants to take the process seriously. So this is how the new manager also noticed a few things, because we used to have meetings, and in the meetings we would talk about, literally, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj had us talk about our faults openly. He says we are all family. So of course some things were too confidential for the devotees to talk about it, but they talked about quite a few things that they needed to fix, and the devotees would actually help in many ways. Sometimes the sadhana was not that strong, and therefore then somebody would say, alright, well, it's time to get up, go to Mangalati, I can call you, and we can go together, and so on. So the devotees were helping each other that way. So, final point, 11, the greatest and most humble, and by far the most intelligent prayer to Guru and Guranga is to ask them to run your life. Be prepared to move out of the way mentally and ask that they control your thoughts and your movement. If you pray like that and you're sincere with that prayer, you will be naturally humble. The greatest and most humble prayer to Guru and to Guranga is to ask them to run our lives. In other words, everything that we think should be sanctioned by them. And if they don't want it, then it shouldn't be done. So that way, we move out of the way mentally and then ask them to control our thoughts. And then that would be an easy, easy way to be humble and to stay humble. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, are there any questions? Mataji, Shamrashika Mataji, I think we'll end here. It's about 8:23. Are there any questions? Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai.
Dhanavad Pranam.
Very, very nice class. Much needed, and there were so many things I felt I'm not following, and so very nicely enlightened us, and somehow in association of devotee we learn the true meaning of humility. Otherwise, you know, one can just define humility in one line, but there are so many aspects and points you put forward that it was such an amazing class. Thank you so much. Prabhuji, like, if it is possible, I know the time permits, you know, I had heard 24 things which you were mentioning that was learnt, you know, by you were mentioning in the class. I don't know if it is there feasible, but maybe, you know, if you can quickly go through that. I don't know if it's like that's asking for too much. So it's really nice to hear that how, because I've read about that much before I came into Krishna consciousness, that there are different elements, you know, like I think wind is there and so many other things are there, which teach you, insect you mentioned. So is it possible to quickly mention, or if they're on top of your head, otherwise you can let it pass, because the class was really wonderful. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Actually, we can do for next Sunday, Saturday.
Sure. I know it's like, I don't know if Prabhuji would be enlighten us with those 24. Is it okay, Prabhuji, for next Sunday?
Saturday.
To talk about the Avanti Brahman and the 24 gurus, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, give me a class on that.
Yeah.
That'll be very interesting. Yes, thank you so much. But otherwise, one more, we can do that next Saturday. One more question I have, like you said that we can do prayer for others. So, prayers and humbleness would be asking nothing for oneself, always like praying that, you know, this person should get Krishna conscious, or, you know, praying for others' health, or praying for some, you know, some other situations that come up in so many people around us in so many different ways. Could you just highlight a little bit about the humbleness, the prayer humbleness that we should have in our heart towards Krishna or in the Guru and Srila Prabhupada? Thank you, Prabhuji.
It's not very difficult. We have standard prayers, and the standard prayers themselves are prayers that already have inbuilt humility. So our standard prayers, most of our prayers, what does it say? For the Guru especially, Vande Guru Si Charanaravindam, we offer humble obeisances. That already shows that we see Guru as above us, and therefore we are servant, and therefore that already accesses humility. So the standard prayers already that we have, okay, already puts us in a humble position. Now, apart from that, when we think of others, as my Guru Maharaj says, just we shouldn't think of ourselves less, or it says you shouldn't think less of ourselves. In other words, that we're just totally useless, because we're not. The devotee, and I talked about this right now, Maharaj says, he also mentioned it another way. But we should think of ourselves less, or let me just think about the best way to put this. Most of the time, we should think about the welfare of others, and much less of a time should we use for our own selves. In other words, we should be in position to always be of service to others. So think about how to help others most of the time, and then, you know, with the little less of a time that we do for ourselves, in other words, you know, to keep going, because we also have needs. A person that thinks about the welfare of others does in fact access humility easily. A person that thinks of themselves most of the time is a proud person. What's good for me? What's good for me? What's good for me? As a matter of fact, humility is connected to love that way. Because when we compare love and lust, lust means what I want for me, and love means what I want to give to others. Love gives and lust takes. Now, every situation is different. So I know you've asked for particular examples, but it all depends on what happens. In our spiritual growth, there are standard prayers that we use, but we all have our weaknesses, and our weaknesses may be similar. In many cases, our weaknesses may be different, and the way we look at them may be different. And so Krishna causes us to grow by His mercy or by His grace based on what our consciousness is at the time. And therefore, it's not an easy thing to give particular examples about how to access humility, except that when we pray for the welfare of everybody, and when we act, we always have to act being careful. See, the Prabhupada was actually praising one devotee in a letter that he wrote, that he said, it is good that you're being careful how you relate to devotees. Every time you may be smiling, you may be talking, but always we should be guarded, mentally guarded at the back of our minds, that I should not say something to offend this devotee. I should say something that would make the devotee happy about his or her service. This is the consciousness that should be there all of the time. If it gets to a point where it's a negative situation from that particular devotee, we should learn to be quiet rather than just fire at that devotee and fire something negative. Because as soon as you fire something negative at the devotee, it means you speak harshly to the devotee, you've committed an aparad. And so we should be always on guard not to commit aparads by saying something negative to devotees. But at the same time, while we're thinking that way, we should always, as I was giving the example about the two, I believe they're Prabhupada disciples that came from California to Giranagri, always speak in such a way to elevate the people that they are around. So just having that consciousness that I should always be in my best behavior towards devotees and be careful not to offend devotees, we will in fact be dealing with every devotee in a very nice way, which is in fact a humble way in itself. So I hope that this helps also. I don't know, but Hare Krishna.
Yes, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. And also look forward for your class next week, you know, again relating to humility. So, you know, we can have more grounding on that. We need to be learning more, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So Shyam Masika Mataji will let you know my next time that I'm supposed to preach, but I think she's already agreed that we talk about the Avanti Brahmana and the 24 gurus and what he learned from the 24 gurus, which I'll be happy to my guru's help and my Srila Prabhupada's help talk about.
Yes,
Hare Krishna. So any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, very nice enlightening class.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, that's my guru and Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada's mercy. I'm just a mouthpiece. Whatever they tell me is what I say, so I can't take credit for it, because I'm also learning as you know, although I may be speaking, but I'm learning just like we all are. Hare Krishna. So any other comments or questions?
Yes, Prabhuji, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Very nice class, Prabhuji. Wonderful class.
Nitai Gora.
I did not write the point number 7 and 8 and 11. Can you please explain a little bit so I can write down the notes?
Okay. 7, 8 and 11. Alright, so point number 7 is we should remember that ISKCON is not a society with the majority of devotees being pure. In other words, it's not a society with overwhelmingly pure devotees. So we should not be surprised by the faults that come from devotees. Not that we should like it, we wouldn't like faults, but we shouldn't be surprised that it's come. Because Srila Prabhupada has come for, you know, come as a bounty hunter to help devotees who have fallen, people who have fallen spiritually. So because of that, so ISKCON is not a society with the majority of devotees being pure. So don't be surprised by the faults. What do? You patiently deal with every situation respectfully. You patiently deal with every situation respectfully and be careful not to offend. Okay, so that's number 7. ISKCON is not a society with the majority of devotees being pure. Don't be surprised by the faults. You patiently deal with every situation respectfully and be careful not to offend. Number 8. Don't postpone spiritual activities. Do not postpone it. We can adjust the material responsibilities as best as we can, but we should always give priority to the spiritual activities. So don't postpone spiritual activities. What needs to be done, get it done. Sometimes Maya will say, oh, but you have this and you have this. You have override Maya. Overrule and say, this is what I have to do. I have to chant. I should do. And you chant. So you adjust the material responsibilities with the time, what can be done to fit in the day, but you give priority to the spiritual activities. And 11, as I think you said, 7, 8 and 11. So 11, the greatest and most humble prayer to Guru and Guranga is to ask them to run your life. The greatest and most humble prayer to Guru and to Lord Guranga is to ask them to run your life. So we should be prepared to move out of the way mentally. In other words, everything that we do is to be sanctioned by them. You ask that they control your thoughts. So the greatest and most humble prayer to Guru and Guranga is to ask them to run your life. Be prepared to move out of the way mentally and ask them through prayer that they control my thoughts and my movement. If you do that, you will be naturally humble.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Yes. Hare Krishna. Very nice
class. Hare Krishna. Guru's mercy. Krishna's mercy. Any other comments and questions? And no questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji,
Srila Prabhupada ki jai,
Guru Maharaj ki jai. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Which is very wonderful points you are sharing. Prabhuji, is there any way I can read all of that somewhere?
Okay, you're asking to get all the points? What I'm understanding is, are you asking that the
point... Read over and over, you know, because... We have to keep remember that this is very wonderful and I have to follow, so if I read it over and
I think in many ways you're asking them me to send them to you, which I'll be happy to do. I can send
them. Yeah, that would be very nice.
Okay. Shyama Sika Mataji?
Yes.
Is it there? You have my email?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you do. Yes, I know. Parikshitdas@yahoo.com. Can you let me know, just talk to this Mataji, let me know, because it's not so clear here. I can't hear that clearly. And I don't want to, I would want to get her email and send this to you, because it's written down. I'm just standing in front, sitting in front of a computer, so I can easily copy that separate and then, you know, send it to whoever wants them. And so if you could get her email and let me know, send me an email and say, this is Mataji's email, then I could just send it right to her.
Yes.
Okay.
And thank you, Shital Mataji, for asking this, Sattva Buddhi, because I was thinking the same.
Okay, well.
For our kids too. Shital Mataji, you can send to whole group. Again, yes, I was suggesting the same thing.
Okay.
We all right. Want it.
All right. I want it too, but I haven't.
Please send me Mataji to whole group. This is Manisha. It was very nice class for the Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru's mercy.
I added to our group, Manisha Mataji. Yes, I usually get the Charlotte Bhakti group, Mataji.
Okay.
Yes, I usually get the Adi Guru Prabhu's mail and a Charlotte Bhakti group mail, but I can give you my email address, or you can send Shital Mataji, or Shital Mataji also send me, Mataji. Mataji, whatever
Mataji.
For you. I will ask your email to Shyamalasika.
Shyamalasika Mataji, can you send to the everyday chants everybody will get?
Yeah. Okay. All right, we'll do it that way then.
My email ID, and I will forward it to everyone.
I offer my humble obeisances to all of you. I should be learning from you.
I have one more question.
Hare Krishna, yeah.
Prabhuji, you know, can you explain more about criticism? Because it's very easy to finding fault in other, and that is the mentality of my mind.
Okay.
Can you explain more, please?
Hare Krishna, so there are negative things around us. If you're in the material world, there are negative things around us. So we see them. It's not like we can't see them. We see them. Our reaction to them is what matters. Our reaction to them. Sometimes we react by doing some things. Sometimes we react by saying some things. So when we say, then it's not helpful if we just say something negative and leave it at that. Say something negative and not do anything to correct the negativity in a respectful way. If we say things, say to someone, okay, if we say to someone, we're saying, assuming that we say to someone, and nothing is done about correcting it. We don't move to correct that particular thing, or get some understanding as to why that thing is there, then we have criticized. Criticizing is saying something negative and leaving it at that. That's criticism. If you see something negative and you move, you make arrangements to correct that thing, either by our own selves or, if we can, or somebody in a position to correct that thing, that's not criticism. That's making the atmosphere even purer. That's not criticism at all. So when we move to do something about it, so when we open our mouths to speak, we should always be speaking to someone who can make a difference. Or if we ourselves can make a difference in correcting that thing, then we shouldn't speak to anyone. We should actually go ahead and correct it ourselves. It's only when we say something and it's negative and we leave it and then we don't do anything about it, then we've criticized. That's the difference. Hopefully does that help?
Yes, it was a little difficult to understand. It was very high
Like, it was a little high for me.
Oh, okay. Okay, I see what you mean. So hopefully this is a little simpler. One, don't say negative things. Don't say negative things to others. If something has to be done that's negative, that's wrong, you say it in, you suggest what can be done. Okay, you make a suggestion, which means come up with a solution. And you come up with a solution, and then you tell the person that can solve the problem about the solution. Or if you yourself can solve the problem, then you do it yourself. But don't go around saying negative things, and, you know, this is bad, that's bad, that's bad, and you walk away from it, and don't do anything about it. If you say this is bad, that's bad, that's bad, and you just walk away from it, then you've criticized. But if you don't say negative things, but look at, all right, I see that there's negative things. What can be done about it? And then you move with the answer to that. Pray for the answer to that, and you move with that. The answer may be you can correct it yourself, or the answer may be you can tell somebody else, and Krishna will point that person out to you that you can go to tell and get that particular negative thing fixed. So you don't go around saying negative things yourself, and that's all. If you just say negative things to others, and then that's all, nothing to be done to fix it, then you are criticizing. Does that help a little bit?
Yes, Guruji, thanks a lot.
Okay,
thank you so much. Your association often, Guruji, very often.
I'm at your service. Whatever Shyama Sika Mataji tells me, she sends me text, that's what I do. Hare Krishna. So.
Thank you. This is humility, humbleness, Prabhuji.
Mataji, you know that. Whatever you say is what I do.
We should learn this point also.
Because I know you mean well, so I just hear you. Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions?
Prabhuji, so nicely you said that if besides someone, we are in a negative thought process.
If you criticize someone,
we're in a negative thought process. We are like, our energy is not positive, and we are looking at the bad part.
Okay, there will be bad parts. Everybody has a high nature and low nature. If we just say it without doing anything about it, that's what criticism is. Then it doesn't help. Then you just put negativity in the air. And somebody who agrees with you may pick up on it, and you will also start thinking negative. But then, the negative thought, or the things that are not right, will come to your mind. That's there. That's nothing wrong with that. But when you take action, the action should always be to correct that thing. Sometimes those who advance, they don't even criticize, or they don't say things, oh, this is bad, that's bad. They will just start by a suggestion. But the suggestion is to improve or fix that thing that's negative. They won't even come out and say it, that this is negative or this is so and so and so. This could be done, this needs to be done, that needs to be done. Maybe we can do it this way, maybe we can do it that way. That's it. They won't even start saying, but it's wrong, that's why we need to fix it that way. They'll just say, do this, do this, do this, do this. That would, I think, help. And that's my suggestion. And then the other thing they do is, they're very important, they're not attached. They're not attached to their suggestion. In other words, if someone else has another suggestion, then they are willing to go along with it. Okay, and especially at meetings, devotee meetings, and ishtagostis, these things come up a lot at ishtagostis. Be willing to just say what it is that needs to be done to improve. Never start by saying this is wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. Yes, you already know that's wrong. It's in your mind that is wrong. Your thinking is wrong. That's the first thing. Your thinking is wrong. It doesn't even mean it's wrong. You just think it's wrong. But once you start talking about it in a suggestion kind of way, this could be done, maybe if this and this and this got done, then it will help devotees in this way or that way. So you bring it out in a suggestion kind of form. And then, see, this, when you suggest, you never offend. You never offend if you do it in the suggestion form. If you start by listing what's negative, some devotees may immediately take offense. Why is he speaking like that? Does he really know what we go through? See, it brings all of that out. But if you start with a suggestion based on what you think is negative, that's taken a lot more easily. And that way, when you speak like that, then you just, you know, you keep the atmosphere still very pure, the atmosphere still very positive, the atmosphere still very cordial, and you're not offending anybody because they're not feeling offended. It's coming out in a suggestion kind of form. And then the suggestion may be taken, or somebody will go on and explain why the suggestion is not feasible right now, or there's another way to look at it, and then they'll bring out, you know, things that you may yourself not realize it's there that's making it seem like it's negative. So it all depends on how you go about it. So you don't say things negatively, but you just make suggestions that could be done. And if you make the suggestions, the best thing is to have yourself do yourself work on it in the suggestion, or say to somebody who is in position to work on that particular suggestion. So rather than say negative things, just simply make suggestions.
Prabhuji, can you give, it's like maybe asking for too much, can you give an example of a situation like this? Say, we want to criticize someone, and then in a way we make suggestions, like in a scenario.
All right.
Do that, Prabhuji.
All right. Well, there is a situation that happened 2 days ago, Peggy and Agri. And as I said earlier, I take care of Tulsi Maharani. So it's a greenhouse, which is attached to the temple. And there are about, I think, 16 Tulsis in there. It's winter here, so it's cold. And so we have to have heaters. The building of, I mean, the room doesn't have heat directed, so we have space heaters, and I have two space heaters. One time I came in and the room was very cold, and I was immediately concerned. It turned out that the fuse, the breaker box, had tripped and shut off the electricity, and so the electric heaters were not working. And I moved to do something about it immediately. I went downstairs to where the breaker box was and turned the that particular one that was off back on to get electricity. But I knew that it happened, so something caused it. Well, it turned out that to fix it, and I'm sorry, I've started a little farther away from the problem, but anyway, it turned out that to fix it, I had to use an extension cord to get power from another source, so that it's not just only that particular breaker that's working the electricity in the room, but, you know, another source outside the room, the Tulsi room. So then I had to use an extension cord. Well, 2 days ago I went there, and I was on my way to Virginia, and I wanted to water Tulsi first, water her first before leaving. So I went there just to water, and I go there, and the temple president's wife is telling me they almost had a fire. What caused it? The extension cord that I was using. So immediately it was a problem. Here I'm getting ready to just water in 5 minutes and leave. I wound up spending an hour over there. Now, the cord was not my cord. At the time that I used the extension cord, Tulsi House was cold, so I immediately grabbed the first extension cord that I could see. It was in the instrument room, the music equipment, the equipment room, the sound equipment room that was, it was there. So I just took it and plugged it in and plugged the heater to it, not realizing that it was a faulty one. In fact, it was stripped, and they had just taped it. So the place that where they taped, that's where the fire actually started. And it burned a part of the wall where it was at, and a part of the floor, the wood floor, was burnt. So what to do? I'm saying that the cord is not my cord, but the fact is I used it. Right, so I'm actually at fault, even though it's not my own extension cord. So I had to admit, I told the temple president's wife, he's the one that is responsible for dealing with devotees a lot. Her name is Parijata Mataji. So I told Parijata, you know, I know I took it from the instrument room, but obviously I have to accept fault here, because I put it in, and this thing has happened. And I said, it's actually not that bad. I've wiped it with wipes, and some of the black soot is already gone. And there's a few spots here, and I was explaining how that could be fixed. And of course, I was going to take responsibility for that and pay for it also. Mataji was very nice to it. She said, don't worry about it. If you want to do it, fine. But, you know, things happen. Don't, you know, yes, this has happened. But so many things happen. And so don't feel so down that this has happened and we're not going to do anything heavy about it. Just go ahead and do the best that you can. So in this case, I could easily have been criticized. I'm not talking about me. I could easily have been criticized by anybody who saw it. So how, you know, the black with all the soot and the little burn on the floor looked, because after all, I was the one that plugged in the extension cord. I know the extension cord was not my own personal thing, and you know, I just took it somewhere else. But I wasn't, first of all, I didn't blame anyone that, you know, now that I've taken somebody else's thing, look what has happened. See, I could have talked like that, and that would be criticizing, you know, after burning. After burning the floor, partly, a little bit of the floor, just about 3-inch by 2-inch burn. And it can easily be covered up. There's something that you buy from the hardware store to cover wood that's burnt. It's a paste that covers it. You can't even tell after it's done. So I already know that particular product is there and it can easily be fixed. But I could have said, see, now that I take somebody else's thing, now we have an issue. I wish it was my own. My own wouldn't be like that. See, as soon as I speak like that, then I'm criticizing and I'm thinking that I do things better. But the fact is, I needed a cord. The cord was there. I took it. It happens to be a faulty one and I didn't see that it was faulty. So that's all on me. And Mataji was very nice to me by saying, don't worry about it. Do the best that you can to fix it. But, you know, we're not going to, you know, beat you up or something for doing something that you obviously meant well. So it ended well. It ended well. Without criticism from her and without me saying that, you know, somebody has sabotaged me by, you know, giving me a cord that's bad, or they know it's bad and they still left it there. Now I've caused a problem with it. Hopefully, this is a long way of saying it, but hopefully you see through what I'm trying to, you know, get across. I hope so.
Practical example, you know, like even if there was something wrong done, it was handled in a very positive way. So yeah. It's like, you know, you blame the air. You don't blame, the door like that, because
yeah.
I mean, you know, like mistakes do happen, yes.
Yeah.
They don't want it to happen, but it still happens. So then, you know, that's
yeah.
The material world is. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for sharing that so patiently. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, go to the Prabhupada. Any other comments, questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Very, very nice enlightenment last week. I joined late. Can I have your number if you don't mind? I want to talk to you.
Sure. My number is area code 717-527-2780.
Sorry, can you please come in? I am getting only 9 numbers.
Okay.
717-527-2780. 2780.
Okay. Yeah.
717-527-2780.
Yeah. And the other one, this is my house phone. The cell phone is same area code, 717
320-2894.
That's correct. That is correct.
I'm so sorry, Prabhuji. What is your name, Prabhuji? I joined very late.
Parikshit Das. Parikshit Das, that's like Parikshit that's speaking to Sukadeva Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes, okay, I got it.
Excellent.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, very nice class. I heard last time also, but I wasn't sure the name.
Oh, okay.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, I'm a humble servant. I'm trying to be humble.
My name is Anuradha Priya Devi Dasi, Prabhuji.
Okay, Anura Adepriya Devidas. Okay. Yeah, I look forward to talking with you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for your number.
Hare Krishna. Any other comments or questions? Okay.
No one has any question or comment. I send up the call here.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your association and wonderful class. And yeah, we will schedule for our next class.
Okay. Okay. Hare Krishna. So, you're going to send by an email to me for these 11 points to be given out?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay.
You have my email ID, so you can send me and then I will send to the whole group, everyday chant group, on just a conference call.
Okay. All right. I have to find it though. But anyway, yeah, I'll get it.
We'll give you one more time, Prabhuji. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's in my inbox, so I can go. Because you already emailed me a few times, so I could just respond to that and get it to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sending you right now, Prabhuji.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
All
right,
then.
Okay.
Vajitanam Prabhupadevi. Vaishnavi Namo Namaha.
Jai.
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 Jai. Jai. Jai. Jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu.